where do you see health being a challenge, and where do you see some of the obstacles for business owners in living more healthy lifestyles?
Yeah, I think the most challenging part for business owners is they are busy. They have things to do all the time. They could probably work a 15-hour day, and they do work 15-hour days, and they get into this mindset to where I'll make money and then I'll take care of myself later. But the problem that I see with business owners is even if they do make the money, they still push it on the back burner and they never actually do take care of themselves. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing that business owners have to shift into is it's not the idea of working more. It's about being available to work creatively and being able to use your brain in a way to where it's clear and focused. And if you're overworked, working 15 hours a day, if you're not sleeping enough, if you don't eat well, and if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to have foggy brain syndrome. You're going to be cranky. You're not going to want to do things. You're going to burn out.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, we're going to hear a story of a business that's transitioned from doing in-person services to online services, but it's not going to be your typical one that you've heard, which is, hey, we were doing stuff in person, then the pandemic happened, and then we adjusted. Today, we're actually going to hear a story about a business owner who felt that coming and knew that they needed to make that transition before the pandemic. And so we're going to talk about how to trust your gut, how to know when your business needs to make transition. And also we're going to talk about sales and how to have sales conversations in a really natural way. I'm excited about this conversation as a business owner. And to have this conversation, I have with me Chandler Walker, who is the co-owner of Stone Age Fuel. Chandler, how are you doing today?
Yeah, happy to be here. I'm excited to give the audience some value on the journey that I went through business, the ups and downs and all the things in between that led us to ultimately being successful from a local to a global company, and then talk about sales and how I hated the idea that I needed to be aggressive and attack people to sell. And so we can learn how to sell without manipulation, aggressive tactics, or feeling salesy.
Love it. All of that is stuff that we need to know, we need to have rooted in our heart as business owners. So I'm excited for this conversation. Give our listeners some context for how do you tell people what you do, and help us understand, you know, the companies, like how do you describe your current situation, Chandler?
Yeah, when people ask me what I do, I usually tell them, well, my role is a care hacker. My job is to learn how to hack the care into people's lives and into people's sales process. So we remove ourselves from this idea of business just being about money and moving ourselves into this idea that business should be about people, because it's not business to individual, or it's not business to consumer or business to business anymore. It's just business to individual. And to learn who individuals are, we have to enter a level of communication I call level 5 listening, where we have to understand what's going on within their heart and soul and their thoughts and beliefs and mindset.
Yeah, I love that. So how does that actually play out? You know, what's your company called, and how are you serving people?
Yeah, our overall company is called Stone Age Fuel, and we have a component where we teach health based on 6 pillars of wellness, and that's mental health, social health, sleep, nutrition, fitness, and habits. And I've added a new pillar we call wealth. And then the other side of things we call the Compassion Conversations Program, where we teach health-based business owners or regular-based business owners how to sell without manipulation, aggressive tactics, or feeling salesy.
Amazing. Yeah, I think that's great. And as we were talking about before we hit record, you made this switch from brick and mortar to online global business before the pandemic. A lot of people have made that switch since the pandemic. What caused you to make that switch? And maybe what did your business even look like before you made that switch? And help me understand what were some of the problems you maybe were facing or challenges that caused you to start to sense that maybe a transition was needed in your business?
Yeah. So my business story is all about ups and downs and making pivot shifts and not really settling for something I wasn't comfortable with. And so when I was growing up, I had a bipolar mom, and I had to learn how to communicate with her from a young age and stay neutral and walk her off the cliff and ups and downs. And that led me to medical school and entering a medical environment where I became sort of disenfranchised. And that led to saying, I'm just going to open up a brick and mortar and be someone who can help people holistically in multiple areas of wellness. And that's exactly what we did. So we opened up that brick and mortar in 2013, we call Stone Age Fuel, and it was functioning well and it was working, but I started to get people asking me if we could help them. And they were across the country. They were across the pond. They were other places to where we couldn't help them because we didn't have the infrastructure to help them with our local business. Mm-hmm. And so with me, my thoughts are, if I start getting people asking me questions and I see that there's a market share available there, I want to begin to create the opportunity for us to drive revenue, not just locally, but globally. And that's kind of what the first thing that led me to wanting to pivot, shift, and adjust. So we had the online presence. The other thing was, in college, I studied biochemistry, and one of my major focuses was microbiology. And I remember about 10 years ago, putting a post up on Facebook saying that there was going to be this big bug that like wiped us out and caused a global pandemic. And so looking back, I was like, I'm really not happy that I was right, but I guess I was right on accident. And I thought it was going to be like an antibiotic resistant strain coming from like livestock and too many antibiotics, but ultimately ended up being what it is. And because of that, I always felt like we needed to have this global presence and sort of a fallback plan and another stream of income. And so that's really what led us to the position to start building and creating the online program. Mm-hmm. I think our first iteration was like 2015. And then our second iteration was 2016. And then our final iteration came out about 6 months before the pandemic hit. And we were already moving and we were already motoring and we were already able to deliver it.
Yeah. Final iteration for now. There's always adjustments.
The final is where we're on now. Version 842.63. Right?
So what does it look like when people hire you today? Like how does the program work? What kind of value are they getting? Help us just walk us through like understanding, like, okay, here's what the program looks like.
Yeah, typically people come to us because they either have deep-seated emotional issues that they haven't settled, or they have a weight loss issue that they haven't been able to appropriately attack, and they've done a million diets and nothing's worked. And so we bring them in, and in our program, it's completely online now. So what we do is we have a 12-week curriculum based on cognitive behavior therapy and motivational interviewing and a bunch of different psychotherapeutic modalities that they enter and they have to go through. So they'll go through our mental health curriculum, and they have to do journaling, and they have to submit their journals to us. They go through our social health curriculum, our sleep curriculum, our 12-week sleep curriculum to create habits-based sleep patterns. Then they go through our nutrition platform where we create 100% custom plans for them to follow that aren't based on diets, pills, or any sort of restriction. Mm-hmm. It's based on their lifestyle, how much time they have available. Can they cook? Do they even like to cook? Do they burn water? And then fitness, we give them workouts that are going to work for them and their lifestyle. And because of this, what we do is we organize all of it into micro habits that they accomplish every week. And if you accomplish micro habits every week, those habits begin to stack. And when you begin to stack those habits, all of a sudden you're doing things without thinking about it. And we call that unconscious competence. And unconscious competence means that I can do it and I'm not even thinking about it. It's like breathing. And so we mm-hmm. want to make health as easy as breathing.
Yeah. I love that. What are some of the main obstacles that you see getting in the way of people living the healthy lives that they should be?
Yeah, I think as a society, people are busy. They don't know what to do. The paradox of choice is one of the biggest problems because people will say, okay, well, maybe I'll try keto and they fail. Oh, well, maybe I'll try the pescatarian diet and they fail. Or, well, maybe I'll try vegan this time and they fail. And then they try to Google what works and they get 847,000 different results and all of them are conflicting opinions. So then people will try something, they'll bounce around, it won't work, they fail, they quit, they give up, they think they suck and it's their fault. And ultimately, it puts people in this perpetual cycle to where they feel like health isn't for them. They feel like they can't do it. They feel like it's too hard. They feel like you have to be like a grass-eating person to be able to make this work. And ultimately, I think that's the biggest problem. We've created health as a new community that you have to enter, a really challenging, problematic platform to be able to understand. And people can't do that. They have busy lives. They have jobs. People are barely making it as it is. And so we have to be able to understand that in order to create change, we have to be able to create habits. To be able to create habits, you have to understand what someone's life looks like. Once you understand what their life looks like, you can create systems and strategies to install new habits to start overlapping on those old habits. And then people can actually become successful.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's incredible. I'm curious, you know, I don't expect you to share all the secrets of your program, but what are some of the moments in your program that you often see being like huge light bulb moments for your for your clients or customers where maybe there's a few pieces throughout the program where commonly people, it's just like really makes a shift where, okay, they understand this one thing or this mindset shift, and it seems like everything can be different from there.
Yeah, I think the biggest shifts that we see are the collective idea that it's not about being perfect. A lot of people move into this failure mentality, like if I didn't do it right, I just may as well give up and do other things. When we teach people that it's okay to fail, it's okay to screw up, we analyze where we are moving forward and we pivot, shift, and adjust as necessary. But helping people understand that they don't have to go all in or all out, that they can have failures and be successful, that failure is part of success, and helping people realize that it's not their fault if they failed, they can pick themselves back up and keep moving forward. It's not all over. Mm-hmm. So I think the one of the biggest things that we have is removing that defeatist mentality and people helping people recognize and understand that they can do it and that they are worth it. Because we don't talk about it a lot, but I think most people who come to us have deep-seated issues on the mental health side of things. They don't believe in themselves. They don't like themselves. They don't like how they look. They don't want their significant other to see them naked or anything like that. They've lived this life to where they don't think they're good enough, so they automatically give up. And so by giving people the power to recognize that it's not about being perfect, it's not about constantly putting yourself on a pedestal, it's just about one foot in front of the other and making it from one meal to the next, we give people the power to take their life back.
I love that. I want to shift towards kind of the business community a little bit, because so much I'm a business owner, and a lot of our audience is business owners. And some of the things that you're talking about, I definitely see in my life and also in other people's lives in our community of business owners. It seems like some business owners have really mastered this like optimization to where their whole life, their whole business is built around managing their energy, managing their health. And, you know, they're some of the healthiest people that we've seen. That's not the majority. It seems that more common in the business community is kind of this like grind till you die, you know, normalizing working, you know, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and kind of just not having time for health with the mentality that I'll get so successful that I can prioritize that later. Specifically with business owners, where do you see health being a challenge, and where do you see some of the obstacles for business owners in living more healthy lifestyles?
Yeah, I think the most challenging part for business owners is they are busy. They have things to do all the time. They could probably work a 15-hour day, and they do work 15-hour days, and they get into this mindset to where I'll make money and then I'll take care of myself later. But the problem that I see with business owners is even if they do make the money, they still push it on the back burner and they never actually do take care of themselves. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing that business owners have to shift into is it's not the idea of working more. It's about being available to work creatively and being able to use your brain in a way to where it's clear and focused. And if you're overworked, working 15 hours a day, if you're not sleeping enough, if you don't eat well, and if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to have foggy brain syndrome. You're going to be cranky. You're not going to want to do things. You're going to burn out. So by not taking care of your health and not prioritizing it as a business owner, most of the people I see cut their business life short. Their business doesn't survive, not because it wasn't going to be successful, but because they burn out. They just didn't want to do it anymore. So I think what we have to think about with business is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not going 100 miles an hour. That stuff you have to do today, turns out it's going to be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's going to be there the next day. It doesn't go away. We have to learn how to prioritize our time and manage our time. And one thing I work on with business owners specifically is understanding that you have priority of tasks. So you're going to have red priorities, which are really critical, like these need to be done today. You have yellow and green. And what we want to do every day is make sure that we work through our red for the most part. And if you finish your red, you can move to yellow. But if you finish your tasks for the day, you just stop working. You don't move on to more stuff. You don't invent things to do and you don't find new things, but you learn how to prioritize and manage yourself. So that way you don't wreck yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been reading quite a few books over the last 6 months that have really been challenging this notion that, long work weeks, long work days, working more is healthier. And there's actually starting to be a lot more science that's supporting and showing that working less actually has a lot of benefits. What are you seeing in some of the people in some of the business owners you've worked with that have maybe toned back and they're working less or they're working more strategically? What are you seeing and what are you hearing as far as the health benefits of that?
Yeah. What I see when people start to prioritize themselves, work less, what happens is they indirectly make more money. And the reason they make more money is because they have a clearer head. They know how to prioritize progress. They've taken time off to allow themselves to recollect and really understand where they're going. Because as an entrepreneur and as a CEO of your business, if that's what you want to be, you have to be able to understand that your responsibility is to build the vision and to be able to build the long-term strategy. And if your brain's constantly clouded and if you're constantly overworked, you're never going to know what that long-term vision is. You're just surviving. Mm-hmm. And you can't thrive if you're just simply surviving. So what I see with business owners is once they learn to prioritize themselves and really understand how to create balance, they create the ability to actually think clearly and they build the ability to actually grow their business. And their business does grow and it becomes successful.
Yeah. It seems like everything you are doing and all of the work that you're doing is very founded and very based in understanding how people think. And I think that is huge in just understanding what the motivation is behind some of our bad habits, some of our good habits, where we're moving forward. And I think this plays out in sales a lot, where so much stress from business owners comes around sales. Very few people truly love the model of sales that our culture has created of sales. Like when we think about sales, like car salesmen or something, very few people truly love that. There's more people that are, they're okay with it and they grow to kind of put up with it and they become very successful in it. But I don't think that sales has to be this like slimy word. That was actually why I got into marketing, is because I felt like, you know, marketing can be this really, really good thing. Like when you have value and you know, you can help solve someone's problem, like that's a really good conversation when you can help solve someone's problem. But marketing and sales often goes all these different directions and the result is people hate it. Talk to me about some of the work that you've done to help people with their sales and help people to maybe reframe how they look at sales.
Yeah, that's a good question. So as I was growing up, I was talking about how I had a bipolar mother and I had to learn how to communicate and I had to learn how to understand what other people's emotions look like. And I had to learn how to read people and how to step out of my own ego and my own comfort zone and into what they're doing. So I understand their model of the world. And so as I went through school and as I opened up our wellness business, our products weren't that cheap. They were higher end. I mean, our products were in the four, five, six figure rates at some points. And so I had to learn how to sell and I hired coaches and they told me, well, you have to be aggressive. You have to go for the close. You have to assume the sale. If they cry, they buy. And I was never comfortable with that because for me, I got into this to help people. I got into this because I wanted to ultimately provide a holistic solution so people could be well. But if I had to manipulate them into making a decision, well, I was kind of living a lie. Let me bully you to make a decision to make you better. So what kind of person am I providing health? And so that drove me insane. And like I talked about earlier, I'm the kind of person that if I don't like that, I will create something new so I don't have to do that anymore. And that's exactly what I did. So after doing 4,000 It was around 4,000 sales conversations on my own. I created the system we call compassion conversations. I took what we were doing in the mental health side of things and on the social health side of things in our wellness program, and I installed these psychotherapeutic modalities into our sales process from what I was already doing naturally. And so we created this sales program rooted in real psychology, rooted in cognitive behavior therapy, motivational interviewing, acceptance commitment therapy, and a bunch of other modalities. And it entered into this three-step process where number one, you detach from the need to sell. Don't worry about making the sale. Just install the idea and the need to serve. Show up to serve people, show up to help people. And then number two was becoming what I call a level five listener or a cognitive listener, being able to understand it's not just about the pain. It's not about sticking the knife and hurting people. It's about understanding and recognizing that there's an external statement that people give. But inside that external statement is the real belief, the actual problem at hand. And if we can understand that actual problem, then what we can do is we can work backward to understand how that's historically created problems over time and how it continues to manifest and trigger, making the problem unsolvable. And now you've connected to the dots to what's really happening. And a funny thing happens when you do this. People recognize that there's a real problem that they didn't know existed. And now their mindset shifts from, what are you trying to sell me to? How can you help me?
When did that shift happen for you? Like, was there a sales conversation that you went into or a moment where you're like, you know what? I'm done with this pressure. I'm I'm not going to try to get this sale. Like, when was that shift for you where you kind of stopped trying to sell and just started trying to add more value?
Yeah, I remember it vividly. I had a coach who I was going through a little bit of a sales slump and I didn't know why. And so I started changing my process. And when you change your process, you go right into a slump, which I didn't recognize at the time. But the coach told me, well, Chandler, you just have to be more aggressive. You really just have to pull the money out of their pockets. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll do that. And it wasn't me. It's not my personality. And so I went into these calls and I was like really pushing these people and really pressuring them. And I got a couple of sales and I started getting refund requests, and I'd never had refund requests in our business. I'd never had people with cold feet. And it just, at that moment, I was like, I'm actually bullying someone into making a decision and they're backing out, and it's my fault. It's not their fault that they had cold feet. It's 100% my fault because I'm doing this horrifying process that I decided to install from this coach. And so at that moment, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'd rather shut the business down and go work at a 7-Eleven or something than do this and manipulate people. And so I took everything that I was doing. I took all of our business systems. I took our mental health platform and I organized it into frameworks of belief, frameworks and patterns of thought, frameworks and models of the world people live in. And I recognized that we can actually use that to have a genuine therapeutic conversation with someone in a sales talk conversation. And it changed the whole game for me.
Yeah. I think that's so huge. And again, it shifts from, I'm trying to get money from these people to I'm trying to serve and give value. And, you know, how can I help this person? And that gets into kind of the law of reciprocity where, you know, it's not necessarily about giving money and getting money in return, but as you help more people, that's going to open more doors. As you aim to help people, that's going to move things forward. And so I think that's huge in the sales space and in that world for business owners to get rid of that pressure. I'm curious to, like, again, with the business owners, let's speak to that audience a little bit. What are some things or maybe some questions that business owners should be asking themselves as they kind of look in the mirror and analyze, like, health, which, as you said, that's a big topic that includes mental, spiritual, wealth, physical health, all of these things. What are some questions business owners or leaders should be asking themselves to kind of start to examine where they're at?
Yeah, I like to keep things simple. So if I was a business owner, I would open up a journal or a book and I would just write down, am I happy? And then under that, I would, whatever the response is, I would say, okay, well, why? Why am I happy? Why am I not happy? And then based on that, I would write another response. Well, why is that? And I would continue asking myself why until I understand what's really going on. Because a lot of the time we'll live a lie. Well, you'll write, yeah, I'm happy. Okay, well, why are you happy? Oh, because I have a nice business. Okay, well, why does your nice business make you happy? Oh, well, because it makes me money. Okay, well, why does money make you happy? And then all of a sudden you recognize, maybe I'm not that happy. Maybe I thought money was going to change my life and it didn't. And so I think the biggest thing you can do is ask yourself questions and then just continuously ask yourself why. You want to be like the annoying kid. Like, I have a 3-year-old and she asks why 744 times for every conversation, which for me is kind of fun because I'm like, I don't know. Let me figure this out. Let's research this. Let's understand this. But for us as adults, we forget that it's okay to ask questions. We forget that it's okay to analyze where we're at because we become ostracized for asking questions. If we're wrong, it becomes an issue. School tells us that you have to be right or you don't answer, that you have to respect authority and do all these things. But in reality, if you never ask yourself why and you never analyze the external belief, if you never take the external statement and understand what the real internal belief is, you're never really going to understand where you're at.
Well, and that assumes and requires that we spend time thinking and that we spend time without consuming stuff. And that's one thing I think so many people are missing, and that even I don't do as much as I would like, is spending time where I'm not consuming anything, not listening to music, not listening to podcasts, where I'm truly letting my brain process and letting myself think. And I think to ask ourselves those inquisitive questions and to really dive deep, we have to have that time where we disconnect from everything else. How essential do you see taking that time being for people that are kind of trying to figure out some of these big life questions, but maybe they feel like, man, I just don't have the time to think about that?
Yeah, I had two really good thoughts come up when I really started engaging in thinking time. There's a book called The Road Less Stupid by Keith J. Cunningham. And he talked a lot about thinking time. Like every day, you should just put up a timer and just think. Either sit there and think and write or stare at the wall. And I had a mentor a long time ago, Gary Halbert, who was one of the best copywriters ever to write. And his idea was similar. You have your thinking time moments. His was for writing copy. If you have writer's block, you sit there and stare at the wall or you write. That's it. That's all you get to do. And so I started adopting this with thinking time, where I will sit at my desk. The computer's closed. Electronics are gone. Everything's there. And I either sit there and write my thoughts and beliefs and what I'm doing and question myself, or I stare at the wall the whole time. And a funny thing happens in this process. You might stare at the wall in the beginning, but then all of a sudden, you're flooded with all these thoughts. You're flooded with all these new things that you want to talk about and analyze. And then all of a sudden, your brain explodes with creativity. And you are able to actually open up your pattern of thought, and you have things that come out that you never thought were even possible.
Yeah, I think that that is why, for me, one of my favorite times to like think and work is on a plane. And I think for a lot of, I'm not the only one. A lot of people feel, a lot of people I've talked to, they really like, you know, getting to work on a plane. And I think it's because you're stuck. You know, nowadays it's a little bit harder because there's Wi-Fi and all this stuff. But like, if you open up your journal, you know, you sit down with a pen and paper, you open up notes on your phone or on your computer, you know, you can't necessarily get distracted by, you know, Facebook and all this stuff. And you're surrounded by usually strangers. So I think putting ourselves in these environments, like you said, where we're kind of cut off from all the stuff that's normally distracting ourselves, and it's like, you know, you either start writing stuff down or you sit there and you think. And I was actually on a plane the other day, and I didn't even get my computer out. I was by myself, and it was just like, I'm going to sit here and be here and let myself think for 2 hours. And that time, it's so hard to find that time during our days. But when we do find that time, I think it's absolutely huge. And have you seen that play a big role in sleep? I know that's kind of like a little bit of a tangent, but have you seen or heard from people in the health space that are connecting, like having that time for our brain to think with, like, and maybe not just sleep, but where maybe that time to think or to write or whatever it might be starts to impact other areas of our health that might seem unrelated?
Yeah, I think so. Because what thinking time does is it also allows you to have worry time. You can sit there and think and worry and do whatever it is you need to do. And so one of the strategies we actually do and employ to help people learn to sleep better is what we call adopting worry time. So maybe 30 minutes, an hour before bed, you sit there and you write out all your worries, all your problems, everything that's going on, everything. You just let it explode. Because at that, and then you close your notebook and you give yourself permission to leave it there until the next day. And so what that does is, instead of the worries exploding right when your head hits the pillow and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't stop thinking, you've already let it out. You've already done it. You've already gone through it. So it's already taken care of and handled. And your body starts to learn that worry time happens and then bedtime happens. And so it's a really interesting idea, and maybe even a phenomenon, that we can actually train ourselves to not only think, but worry at specific times, so we can actually move into a bedtime and not sit there and think all day and all night.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. There's a lot of other questions I'd love to ask, but I want to be cognitive of your time. And I want our audience too to get in touch with what you're doing. Who's the perfect person to work with you guys? Like, who's kind of your ideal client, ideal person that, if they're listening to this, you would say, if you're, you know, going through X, Y, and Z, you should get in touch with us?
Yeah, we really have two types of clients. If you're an entrepreneur who's overworked and overwhelmed, if you're somewhere making the $10,000 to $20,000 or more a month mark, and you don't really know how to scale it, and it's not a business problem, it's a personal problem, then we'd love to chat and help. And if you're an entrepreneur who has a robust system, who has a lead generation platform, who is generating but hates sales and either doesn't want to sell themselves or needs to adopt a sales team to scale up, then that's what we're kind of looking for our Compassion Conversations program. There he is. So if you want to get in touch for Compassion Conversations to learn how to sell without manipulation, aggressive tactics or feeling salesy, just go to 9step.cultureofcare.life. That's .life, not .com. If you want to learn more about our health program, go to 6pillars.stoneagefuel.com. And that's 6pillars.stoneagefuel.com. And if you just have general questions and you want to chat and connect with me, just connect with me on Instagram and shoot me a DM. I'm super approachable and a fun guy. So just go to Instagram.com/Chandler_SAF.
Love it. Chandler, this has really been a pleasure for me. I hope it has been for our audience. Love hearing about what you're doing at Stone Age Fuel. And I just love that you're approaching problems in such an intentional way. And I'm excited to see where this takes you. And I think where it takes you through who you get to serve. I think that's the neat thing, is looking at, like, we usually use this language in the business world of like, oh, I'm excited to see how much your business grows. And I feel like it's kind of reframing to like, it's going to be awesome to see how many people you get to serve and how much impact you get to make through the people you get to serve. So Chandler, thank you so much for your time today. And to our listeners, make sure to head to the links Chandler mentioned. We will have those in the show notes below for you to check out. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully we gave you some value, and I call my business and everything we do the culture of care, because we are here to create change in the world in a meaningful and positive way. Oh, and the Stone Age Fuel link is actually 6 pillars, SIX pillars.stoneagefuel.com. I misspoke earlier.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.